But it's so good to be here today, each and every one of you that have found it in your heart to come this way. We're thankful for all. I'm thankful for life, because how fragile is life? The Apostle Paul said, the Apostle James said over in one place that, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a short time and is even passed away. I remember there used to be a placard in my family's home that said, soon this life will be passed. What is done for Christ will last. And so from point A to point B, may we be serving Him and looking to Him today. Today, I guess this Sunday was to be wearing green. Is that? I don't know. I just kind of got bits and pieces of it. And of course, I forgot mine, but I have green eyes. So I'm covered on that today. That always aggravated my wife whenever that we'd celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And she says, where is your green? And I said, right there. Permanently fixed. So we're glad to be here today, and we ask that you pray for this service and pray for each and every one that is sick and afflicted, those that are going through trials, hard times. Remember them in prayer. Remember the unsaved, the lost, that are seeking for something to fill this void that's deep in the heart and in the soul of them. Pray for our country. Pray for the leaders of our nation. And pray for everyone today that stands in need of prayer. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to ask you to turn with us to the second chapter of the book of Luke. And we're going to begin our reading lesson from the 39th verse. Luke, second chapter, 39th verse. And this is part of the continuum about the way and the pathway from the cradle to the cross. And of course, by this time, Jesus is a young child. And then according to the law, as it says in the 21st through the 24th verse, he was taken up to the temple the eighth day to be circumcised, as according to the law of Moses. Now the Bible tells us in one place over in the book of the Galatian letter, it says that he was born under the law, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us that are under the law. He didn't come to do away with it. He came to fulfill it. And that through him today, we could fulfill the law of God. And then we find that in that same area, as they went up to the temple, there was an elderly gentleman. I don't know if he was a prophet or what, but his name was Simon. And he began to tell Mary all the things that would take place. He had been promised by God that he would live long enough to see the Lord's Christ, to see the Messiah, the one that would bring salvation into the world. And as he looked upon this child, he took him up in his arms, and he told Mary that this child, a sword shall pierce through thine own heart and soul. In other words, that his mission, what he is here for, will affect her. And then last of all, there was one by the name of Anna, a prophetess of the tribe of Asher. And as she began to praise God because of this young child, she told them that this would be to him, all of them, that look for redemption, the Redeemer. Now we're going to begin with the 39th verse. And this is their return to Nazareth. And when they had performed all things, just as we had said, they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. They returned unto Galilee, unto their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. And I want you to take note of that scripture today. Just kind of keep it in the back of your mind. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Tabernacle, the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, that is Jesus, he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother, Mary, knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned again, back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him. Now guess where he was at? He wasn't at the mall. He wasn't at a store picking up gummy worms or whatever. But they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, that is the doctors of the law, such men as Gamaliel, who taught the Apostle Paul, Hillel, another doctor, that is the most knowledgeable men of the law of Moses. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, and both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and at his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? In other words, he said, I must be about what my father has sent me to do. And what was the father's business? It was the redemption of mankind. And so they understood not what he said. But he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. And this entire scripture is going to be our text. Now, I'm not going to go through scripture just individually, all of them. But sometimes between the cradle and the cross, we forget that he grew. He grew to manhood. And he grew in stature. He grew in wisdom. He knew what his purpose was. And when he came close to the temple, or as they offered the lambs for the Passover, there he gravitated to it, and he found the wise doctors of the law of Moses. And perhaps he was sitting there listening to them and thinking about what they were saying, and pretty soon he found himself in the middle of them. Can you imagine their surprise? Men up into their 60s, 70s, and 80s, that's not really all that old, but all those men that had years and years and years studied the law of Moses. And here comes a 12-year-old boy, just barely bar mitzvahed and declared to be an adult, standing in the midst of them, asking them questions, hearing their answers, and then also answering their questions, and they were amazed at what he had to say. These might have seemed like obscure years, like years of mystery. And you know, there's been a lot of speculation about what Jesus did during that time. And I think we have sufficient scripture in the book of Luke to understand that he was growing to maturity. He was about to take his step into his ministry, into the calling that he'd been called for today. And obscurity doesn't, when we think of obscurity, obscurity isn't always where that there's inactivity. In other words, nothing is going on. Obscurity is oftentimes we don't really know all the picture, all that he was doing or that anyone was doing. And it might have seemed like a long time until that he reached the age of 30 and he began to take his steps through the shores of Jordan and through Judea, Galilee, and all of the provinces. But in that time of obscurity, we find that there were others that there was a time of obscurity for. As was mentioned, Abraham and Moses, not very much known about them, where that the scriptures are silent about the period of time. But I believe God was working with them. And I believe that even someone today that we read about in the Bible, Elijah. Where did Elijah come from? Well, we know that he was a Tishbite, but what about before or after? We don't know. But obviously God was dealing with him. And you know, even in our years of obscurity, you might not think that God is dealing with you or concerned with you. I believe that God is concerned with each and every individual on the face of this planet. You might say, how can that be? Because he is God. He knows all things. He knew the end from the beginning. And he knows all about each and every one of us. So we find that at the age of 30, he left home. And he began to take his journey towards the cross. Now we find that before that he did anything, there was a preacher, there was a prophet, if you will, on the shores of Jordan that had been called and ordained of God to preach a singular message. Do you know what that message was? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John baptized, he immersed, if you will, those that came unto him and showed forth the fruit meet for repentance. In other words, an evidence that a change had taken place, that they had repented of their sins. And he was there to proclaim and to herald one who was coming after him that he said in one place, whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to unloose. That's humility. That's not crawling around in the dirt. That's not being humble like a rat. But that's a humility, recognizing that here was his role and there was one that was coming after him, Jesus Christ, who would fulfill all righteousness. And he came unto John to be baptized of him. Now, I think that there are some things about his baptism and about him walking down into the water with John. You know, it represented a death, a burial, and a resurrection. It was a testimony of what he would go through, of what he would experience. This purpose that he came into the world for was, my friend, to give himself for the sins of mankind. But first of all, he went unto John, and John was called, and you might say, well, you're leaving off part of his name. Well, it was John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, John the Immerser, John the one, my friend, that ate locusts and was dressed in camel's skin. And my friend said unto those that came to his baptism, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Now, Jesus had nothing to repent of. He was perfect. My friend, he kept perfectly the law. He was subject unto his parents. You might say today, well, that one episode where that he forsook his father and his mother and took off. But no, he was under the care of his father, his heavenly father. And he said, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? What would you have said if your child had said to you, I must be about my father's business? It would set me back. I don't mean to make personal reference, but I've got a grandson that he amazes me. And I'm praying for God to use him however that he sees fit. But nevertheless, Jesus came to John. And John said, you know, cousin. They were cousins, 6 months apart or so. He said, I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, John, it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. This is the will of God. It behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. And John stopped. And he took Jesus down into the Jordan. And he dipped him beneath the waves. And he brought him forth. Now there's a pattern in that today. Whenever that people that have been saved by the grace of God, that are not a member of the church, it behooves them at some point to put their light upon the candlestick. In other words, to follow the example of Jesus. If they've been saved, to be baptized and become a part of His body, to take the Scripture, or take the gospel out into the world. And I think also, as He stood within that water, there was a testimony, my friend, that nobody could deny. As they stood within that water, John said, I beheld, and I saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus like a dove, in the form of a dove. And then there was a voice that boomed from above that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And there was the Son in the water, standing in the water. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gave witness that this is the very Son of God. Now, there was one other thing that had to be done that, my friend, he could not and should not have even thought of bypassing. He was led of that same Spirit into the wilderness. And as he was in the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. Can you imagine going without food for about 40 days? People have attempted it. Some have done it. But my friend, not likened unto this incident, because in this condition, in his body as man, see, he was man and God, 100% of each. But my friend, the tempter that had utterly destroyed the influence of the first Adam, now was coming after the second Adam. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. He is the final Adam. He is the one that keeps perfectly the law of God that Adam did not keep and plunged us all into sin. But he came unto Jesus and he said, Jesus, you're hungry. No doubt I can hear your stomach growling. And oh, wouldn't you like to have a cinnamon roll? Wouldn't you like to have a donut? Wouldn't you like to have bread? Oh, to be in Jerusalem right now in the marketplace? But you can't go there. But look at all these stones that are round about Jesus. All you have to do is just take one of these stones. Didn't you frame the worlds by the word of your power? Are you not, my friend, equal unto God, your Father? He won't mind, since you're hungry, if you take those stones and turn them into bread and quench, or to take care of the hunger that you're experiencing right now. And I want to tell you the one thing that you can do whenever that Satan tempts you is that you can use the Scriptures. That's why that we encourage people to read their Bible, to know about the plan of salvation, to be able to witness unto a lost and dying world. But there's not a one of us here but what Satan is not going to attempt to tempt us. Because you see, we still have that susceptibility. And if you think you're stronger than Satan and on your own, that you can defeat him, you've got another thing coming. Because I want you to know, my friend, he's toppled over very mighty people, even religious people, even faithful people. That's why it is important to know the Scriptures. And if you don't know any other Scriptures but this one in the very 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, And the old serpent, the tempter, plus the false prophet and the beast were cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. He knows his end. And if you're saved by the grace of God, my friend, you use Scripture just like Jesus did. Do you know what Jesus said to him out of the book of Deuteronomy? He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You think about that today. This flesh is going to perish someday. This flesh is going to go by the wayside. And it's like a saying that I heard one time where that whichever that you feed the most, that's the strongest. If we sow to the flesh, we'll of flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall reap unto everlasting life. And I want you to know, but go into the Scriptures and be familiar with them. And I want you to know, the more familiar with them, when the tempter comes or he puts thoughts within your mind that shouldn't be there and you're trying to fight them. I don't know what anybody else uses, but I know that I have this 23rd Psalm down pat. And my friend, I also have the Lord's Prayer and other Scriptures today. My friend, that's why it's important to study the Word of God. And my friend, to be founded upon it today. But then we find that Satan could not get him to satisfy the flesh. But then he comes to him and he says, "Jesus, look at all this world. Look at all the riches of it. Look at all that that has been created. I hold it all." He lied. He didn't. But nevertheless, he presented it before Jesus. And he said, all of this, all the palaces, the Taj Mahal, all the castles, all the wealth, everything that is contained within the world, I will give unto you. But here's what I want you to do, Jesus. I want you to fall down and acknowledge me and worship me. Satan is continually trying to get God's people to worship him. Satan is continually trying to get the lost world to be affixed upon him. Now, if he was clothed in a red suit with a tail and a pitchfork, man, we'd see him coming from a mile away, wouldn't we? We'd know that's him. We'd avoid him like the plague, so to speak. Pardon the expression. But my friend, the Bible says that Satan can sometimes disguise himself as an angel of light. He can make the wrong look like it's all right. He can make evil look like it's good. And you know, that's what's happening in our world and our culture today. My friend, evil is starting to look good. Why, you know, this is really... Did God really say that? That thou shalt not do this? Don't fall for the same line that Adam and Eve did. Because I want to tell you something. In the end, giving in to sin, my friend, brings about a separation. Now, you've got your salvation. And my friend, there's nothing to break that bond between an individual that is saved and with God. But my friend, it can really hurt the relationship. And my friend, if we do sin, the Bible says over in the book of John, he says we have an advocate with the Father. This is one of the things that God revealed unto me whenever that I was saved. I have a mediator. I have an intercessor. I have an advocate. Boy, a 17-year-old boy didn't understand what those things were. But I understood that Jesus did them. And somehow, by the grace of God, bowed before him. I acknowledged him and I believed upon him with that grain of mustard seed, and he lifted the burden off of me and I had peace with God. And I want you to know, that's why I preach about a high priest. And I preach about an advocate. And I preach about an intercessor today. And I'll give unto you today in the book of John. It says that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. I'm sorry, political correct crowd. That's what Jesus said. And that's just the way that it is. If any man try to climb up any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And I want you to know he is the door of the sheepfold. If any man enter in, he will find rest for his soul. Fall down and worship me, Jesus. Hey, we're in the mountains. Nobody will see it. And these kingdoms will be yours. You know what Jesus said once again from the book of Deuteronomy? He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The last time that Satan spoke to him like this, he took him to the temple in Jerusalem. Beautiful temple that had been built by Solomon and later was reconstructed by Herod the Great. There upon the pinnacle they stood, and there Satan said, Jesus, and I'm adding to this, now I don't think that it would do injustice to it, Jesus, you can bypass the cross. I know that's what you've come for. You've come to try to fulfill what God has sent you for. You can bypass that. Yes, people are supposed to believe and all that, Jesus, but you know what? You could save yourself a lot of trouble. You wouldn't have to have spikes within your hands and feet. You wouldn't have to have a crown of thorns. You would not have to have people jeering you and making fun of you and rejecting you and all of that. You can bypass that. My friend, I want to tell you something. The easy way is not always the best way. And what Satan was trying to do was to get Jesus to perform something that everyone would have believed. But then again, we would not, you and I, had that opportunity to come under the guise of the gospel to the foot of the cross to be atoned for sin, to have, my friend, eternal life, to have the image of Christ embedded upon your heart when you believe. All this you can bypass if you'll just do one thing, Jesus. Cast yourself off of this pinnacle. Why, it says in Psalms 91 and through those verses of Scripture that he'll give his angels charge over thee. Yeah, Satan knows Scripture, but I want to tell you something. He twisted it and he left off something there. In all thy ways, he said, in one place he said, he will give his angels charge over thee, lest thou would dash thy foot against the stone. But it says in the Scriptures, in all thy ways. In other words, in all the ways of God, and according to the will of God. God's will and God's purpose was that all would come under repentance. And the only way that that can happen, the only way that you and I can be saved, and that others can be saved today, is only through what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus stopped and he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, there are many that are making a trial out of God today. And when I say trial, they're making a spectacle out of him today. Now, I'm not going to criticize anyone, anything. But I want to tell you, any action done, anything put forth as gospel that draws attention away from God is not of God. We sang these songs a while ago about Jesus. Look at how that it pointed unto him. Look at how that it elevated him. Look at how that one song says, cast your eyes, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, that was perfectly clear and just went right in line with what the sister said about the King is coming. Whenever that Christ Jesus is lifted up, only to honor Him and to proclaim Him before a lost and a dying world. He said in one place, if I and I only be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Are you weary? Are you sin sick today? Is something not right within the soul? Is something not coming together and you feel a kind of a fear, but yet no peace? That's where that Jesus can take over. And that's where that Jesus can grant peace. He is the Prince of Peace, the Bible says over in the book of Isaiah. And so the Bible says that Satan left him. Notice, he left him for a season. He could not get the second Adam to sin. Think about that today. He got Adam to sin. He put something out in front of Adam that was very attractive. I mean, they say that it was fruit. It was something from the tree. From the tree that was of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm just going to use apple for an example. I don't know that it was. It might have been a grapefruit for all I know. But oh, today it was attractive. It had its appeal to it. Have you ever seen a bright and shiny apple? Talk about wanting to bite into it. I'm getting to the place to where my teeth can't hardly do that much anymore. So I've got to chop them up. But that bright and shiny fruit was attractive unto Adam. And he was told that it was one to make him wise, to make him to know all things. That's how Satan presents things. And it was also something that would make him likened unto God. Do you know that the worst God that there is in the world is humanity worshiping themselves? Amen? It's humanity worshiping themselves. That's the worst idolatry that there is in the world. And this is what hooked Adam. And he opened his eyes and he saw that he had sinned against God and his wife Eve also. But Satan could not get the Son of Man to submit unto his temptations. And Jesus walked forth out of that wilderness. That says that angels came and ministered unto him after this trial and after all of this today. I want to tell you, there's no peace like the peace of God. And my friend, the peace of God through the Holy Spirit, my friend, when you've gone through a trial or temptation or sickness or whatever that it might be, my friend, the peace of God, the Bible says, that passeth all understanding, is the most precious thing that there is within this world. And he came forth from that desert. And you might say, boy, I bet he ran down to Casey's to get a donut because he was hungry. No, I bet that didn't even enter his mind. I'll bet that the hunger probably dissipated because he was ready. He had faced the worst. He had set the example. And now begins the footsteps. And do you know where those footsteps ended? At the cross and at the tomb. So God being our helper, that would be our message today. I hope and pray today that if you have loved ones today that are unsaved, if you have loved ones today that are sick, or loved ones today that are in any kind of trouble today, take it to Jesus. Take it to Him today. He's not diminished in His power. He's not diminished in His love. He's not diminished in His compassion. My friend, He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he does not, my friend, deserve. He said, I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. Even unto the end of time. My friend, that's not just a prophet. That's not just a priest. That's a Savior. That's a Savior for all mankind.